back to a bonus episode of the Infamous Podcast. It's time to make the chimichangas, Johnny. It's time to make the chimichangas.
Is that the name of the episode?
No, well, it's just bonus episode Deadpool movie review. Right, it couldn't get more boring. So, all right. Hey, what's happening? We went and saw Deadpool yesterday. We're recording this on Saturday, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think.
Allegedly.
I don't normally work on Saturdays, yeah, and I had to work today, so.
So, yeah. All right. So, Deadpool came out. Did you know that?
I was there yesterday yeah, with you, so.
Anyway, yeah.
I'm going to play the role of Negasonic Teenager. I'm going to check my text while you're talking.
Johnny's going to tweet the entire show. But, hey, what did you think of the movie? Just quick. We're going to get into it. This is going to be spoilery as hell. So if you haven't seen it, just like always, download it, save it, listen to it later. That being said, first impressions.
I liked it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not a fan of the character at all, but I liked the movie.
Yeah. Of the two of us, I'm probably the bigger fan.
Yeah.
And I'm not like an uber Deadpool fan. I actually like him with other characters more than on his own.
Okay.
Like
which
I said
this
before,
movie kind of was.
Yeah, it I was. Mean, yeah. I like him with Cap, when he teams up with Captain America.
Right.
A lot. And obviously, like him and Cable teamed up is always interesting.
Right.
That being said, I like this a lot. I felt like it was really true to the version of the character that we have now.
Yeah, the breaking the fourth wall.
Yeah,
and
it was that
sarcastic.
Was fun.
And
yeah, it was
it comedic.
Was, oh, it was very and sarcastic. And it
dirty
was
and you go down the list.
Yeah. So let's just hop right in and start talking about this. It kicks off like right in the middle of the action sequence that we've seen that we saw in the leaked footage. From Comic-Con last year.
Well, it doesn't really kick off in that. It kicks off with the slow-mo.
Well,
like,
but I'm saying that's the footage that
with,
we see,
you
and,
know,
and the, going through the opening credits,
yeah,
if you will.
The awesome opening credits.
You know, so it's like starring some asshat.
Yeah.
Starring the evil British guy.
Yeah.
Starring gratuitous cameo,
was it
which
produced
was great.
By some asshats?
Whatever,
what
yeah.
Was, yeah.
So.
Which I'm like, they used my word.
Yeah, you do like asshat. But
I
no,
do
I'm
like
sorry.
Asshats.
But no, it, so like right there, it to me, it kicked off. And
I think
like,
that
they
had
understand
to
this.
Go ahead and do that, like, you know, since it was the leaked footage, that they had to just throw it in there at the beginning and get it out of the way because you knew it was going to be in there.
Right.
And, you know, we don't know who leaked the footage. But
yeah, I liked how on whatever, Kimmel or Fallon,
yeah.
Which one of the Jimmys. He said he's 70% sure he didn't leak it.
Yeah, it's like, 70% sure.
Yeah, so
it was the Deadpool part of him that leaked it.
Man, like, there's no difference.
I think that Ryan Reynolds has a little bit more of a filter.
But
Ryan Reynolds in the makeup and in that costume, it's like, you know, it's pretty much, you could do whatever you want to say.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can, you know.
It was. I think it's just his personality amplified, and then a little psychotic.
Yeah.
But no, I loved him in the role. I thought he was great.
I'm just glad that Wolverine, you know, gave him permission to do the movie.
Yep. Yeah,
you know?
Which was really funny.
You know, his name rhymes with Pulverine. It was fun because it was like they acknowledged that it actually exists in the X universe.
Yeah, and well, I mean, obviously we get to go to the school for gifted youngsters
right.
at
yeah.
one point. Colossus and Negasonic Teenage Warhead.
But I mean, like from the very beginning, you
yeah.
know, it's in the X-Men universe. It's like he mentions Wolverine right
yeah.
off the bat, and it's like, okay, this is actually happening in the X universe.
You know, there's a point where Colossus is dragging him away, and he's like, "We're gonna bring you to the professor," and he's like, "Which one, Stewart or McAvoy?"
Uh-huh.
I'm confused by the timeline, and it's like. That was like a fan thing, like just to call out
sure.
to the fans, because that's what we're
well,
all thinking.
Was
but,
it, though? Because
well,
Cable actually is a time traveler,
right.
so it's
so,
like, you know.
Who knows? But, yeah, I just think, you know, I mean, like, I don't think we can talk about this for an hour because, you know.
No.
But it's one of those things where what was good was great, and there were some just lulls.
Did
kind
you
of
feel there was
the
any
middle?
Bad part, though? I don't feel like there was anything really bad to me.
I tell you the part where I kind of, like, started, like, kind of zoning out, but, like, being less like enthused
yeah.
was all the Weapon X or whatever that
right, yeah,
was.
The experimentation.
It just kind of went on too long.
I think it would had to.
But it, yeah, but it had to. And I, yeah. like so and I agree completely with that statement right. that it had to. But at the same time it was kind of like it's just kind of being him.
What I got from the processing of him into yeah. Deadpool from Wade was that it went on that long because it showed why he's as insane as he is now. Because he's insane.
He
is. At the point that he's wearing the red costume and that, he's batshit crazy at that point.
So, and I'll agree with that. I think for me is they showed the imbalance that's in Wade's yeah. head, like leading up to that with Vanessa so much because, you know, the whole line, well, like, our crazies fit together.
They're crazy. They're both crazy.
Right.
But the thing that, like, you know, and for... you know, all sense and purpose, Wolverine has the same problem.
Right.
Is that when their abilities have kicked in, like, more, it screws with their heads.
Yeah.
And makes them more either violent, in mm-hmm. the case of Wolverine, like, you know, Berserker Rage.
Right.
Or in the case of Deadpool, it just makes him
funny.
More crazy.
Yeah.
More crazier than he already was.
Yeah.
Because obviously he had been part of the military. They didn't say Canadian or... U.S., but he was
41,
kept mentioning he was from Alberta.
41 confirmed kills.
Yeah,
you know.
He was Special Forces.
Yep, served
so
in
it's like,
Afghanistan,
you know,
Jacksonville.
To be Special Forces, you have to be,
yeah,
a little special.
Right. No, yeah. And you know, I think like I was saying though, it was just they built him up as crazy, like going into that, you know, and like it was a last resort. You know,
right.
and so someone going into that is already like a little mentally unbalanced, and you know, just having him like tied to the table for so long, that's
well,
kind of for
the,
me
the
where
whole
it's like
thing
I would have rather
that
seen
it was, you know, the desperation of I have cancer,
yeah.
I have to, you know, fix this, not knowing that he had mutant genome
right.
in him, you know, and they knew he had mutant genome in him because obviously
well, no, so I know you're not, like, the biggest X fan.
Right.
So, the way the mutant gene works in the X universe, and I don't know if this carries into the movies, it kind of did with this, but everyone has the mutant gene in them. It's whether...
Is that the way it is now?
Yeah, and okay. It's the way it was for a long... I mean, it's
See,
been...
See, I don't think, like, the 80s that was the way it was.
Yeah.
But...
Well, probably, like, late 80s, early 90s.
Okay.
But,
yeah,
like,
so
the way it works is...
Age of Apocalypse.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's actually where
right.
they started is... Is everyone has the mutant gene. It's whether it gets activated or not.
Right. Oh,
and it's
yeah.
not like one of those
that's,
things.
That's kind of what I meant. Yeah.
Like in Rising Stars, you know, the J. Michael Straczynski comic, where their powers would kick in once they, you know, tried something. So
right.
one figured out he could fly because he almost fell off the roof. So
right.
they all started jumping off the roof. That's not how, like, the X gene
yeah.
works. But,
yeah.
But
I
yeah.
mean, it was one of those things where I always. Like took it as people didn't know they had that, except the X-Men like would know once
right.
they
oh
and it was kind of like, you know, he didn't know, like the way he reacted, he didn't know that he was going to be, you know, become a mutant pretty
yeah.
much
yeah.
And you know, once he was on the table, when they started telling him what they were going to do, I think he started losing it right then, and he was changing his mind really. I mean
yeah.
you know, it's like, wait a minute, you said you're going to heal me, but this is going to happen too. It's like, you know, we're going to make you a mutant slave,
yeah.
pretty much.
Yeah, I mean, it was
I like the cool. idea, and I wish that, like, you know, that they would have somebody... I mean, Simon Kinberg kind of is running this division...
Loosely, yeah.
Loosely. But I would like, because Deadpool made this X universe look a little darker
mm-hmm.
than, you know, the X-Men movies does... And I would like to see the X-Men movies. Like, I was sitting there thinking, like, if you really wanted to do it, you could do an X-Force movie
yeah.
with Deadpool.
Yeah.
And have all the darker characters, like Negasonic.
Yeah.
And Colossus, you know, would be good in that type of movie.
You could throw Havoc in there.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, I mean, he's a dark... Like,
some
in the
of
comics,
the darker...
He's kind
yeah.
of gone, like, he's skewed darker.
And he's been in the other movies.
And,
so it's like, you know...
Yeah.
Did this movie kind of had a 90s vibe to it, too? It kind of did.
You know, and I haven't mentioned this because, you know, we purposely haven't talked about this, really.
Right.
It reminded me of Blade.
Yeah.
A
yeah.
lot of Blade.
Yeah.
With the sword fighting.
They actually mentioned Blade in the
movie.
They do. Yeah.
And So, like, let's just kind of, like, roll with some things here. They mentioned Blade. They mentioned the other X-Men.
But they
movies.
Mentioned Blade as a movie.
Right.
You know, as it was a movie so, that he's seen.
We see an action figure of the Deadpool from Wolverine Origins, yeah. which was hilarious. You know, he said
the way they cut it, like, he's flying toward a car, and they cut to a flashback, because a lot of the movie is flashback. And literally the flashback, the figure is in the same pose that he was in when he was, like, you know, flying at the car and flashback.
Just a second ago.
Yeah, it's like, that's just a cool cut. The director of this movie,
Tim Miller.
Okay. He was awesome.
Yeah. And, you know, there was that whole Spider-Man thing in the alley.
Yeah.
And then the whole Spider-Man thing with him figuring out his suit. And then Blind Al.
Yeah.
You put some club soda and lemon on it.
Yeah.
If
you're going to bleed, you better wear red.
she literally gets there. So, you know, like the casting was great.
Yeah.
So Ajax, who was the evil British guy. Right. And the whole time I'm like, he looks so familiar.
You were like that. And I was just like, his teeth bother me.
I was like, I know. Well, he's British.
Well,
you know, so
that's kind of mean.
Hey.
Like, no, I mean, it looks like an accident had happened. Maybe. And I'm like, man, what?
But that could have just been for the character.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, like, you know,
something.
They do this.
Yeah.
But so it was, what's his
name? Ed Skrein.
Ed Skrein. And he was the original Dario Naharis on Game of Thrones. And he was also the new transporter in Transporter Refueled, which I didn't see that one. But yeah, the whole time he's bothering me. And he looks a lot like Nicholas Holt.
Yeah.
Who plays Beast. But, you know, they're both British and just kind of have the same. They look like they could be, like, brothers. But
more of that. Yeah, I would agree with that. Yeah.
But, yeah, he was great. You know, not wanting to be called Francis.
Right.
And that was, to me, I was thinking Pee Wee Herman every time I heard Francis. And I don't know if that was intentional or not, but I got that. But, no, he was great. Gina Carano as Angel Dust.
They kind of uglied her up, I guess you would say.
Like, she looked harsh.
He calls her evil Rosie O'Donnell.
Doesn't he? A less angry Rosie.
Angry Rosie O'Donnell. But she kind of resembles Rosie O'Donnell.
In this.
And it's like, but I mean, I think, like, you know, she buffed up. She's buffed up a lot.
I mean, she's like, because she's an MMA fighter, or was. But, you know, like you had mentioned, what was the movie?
Haywire.
Which
she doesn't look like she did. Haywire.
And that was a good movie.
That
was a huge cast too. But
that's a Soderbergh movie.
She was good in that. But her character Angel Dust was a Morlock,
right?
So, you know, and the Morlocks were always kind of weird looking anyway. She was created by Geoff Johns. She's a character from 2002.
Okay.
Her in Morlock number one was her first appearance. You know, I mean, Ajax has been around since 98. You know, he was in Deadpool 14. It's a Joe Kelly.
So he's one of the Joe Kelly characters.
Joe Kelly, Walter McDaniel.
Which this movie felt more like, you know, I've read some of the Deadpool stuff, you know, and this was more Joe Kelly, Ed McGuinness, the 90s. Like, so, I said, the movie felt like it took place in the 90s.
And we talked about on the most recent podcast that we did, and how he was created by writer Fabian Nicenza, whatever.
Yeah.
And Rob Liefeld. You know, I was bummed that, so in the movie, like, Rob Liefeld has the top writing credit for the character, where it's like, you're the artist, like, but for, like, I would have liked to have seen Geoff Johns mentioned in here. Negasonic
Teenage.
I didn't
watch the end credit. Did they mention it? No.
And so Negasonic Teenage Warhead was Grant Morrison and Frank Quitely, you know.
Oh,
and,
was she?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so she was, she made her first appearance, if you guys are looking, in New X-Men number 115. 2001.
Okay.
So, I mean, she's just as old as Deadpool, you know, or, you know, as old as Deadpool was. Oh, she's 10 years. So,
I was going to say Deadpool.
10 years later.
Deadpool
was 91. New Mutants.
91? Was that 91?
Yep. Wow. New Mutants number 89. Or
I
98.
I missed him by a year. Damn it.
What?
I started collecting books, like really collecting books in 92. So, I could have had that New Mutants.
You probably would have.
Damn it.
Well, we were. After we saw it, we went and hit a couple comic book stores, and one a local store, Nostalgia. They have it if you want it.
Yeah,
like, look them up. It's Nostalgia Inc. They have a Facebook page. I don't think they have a website, but yeah. No, so I mean, it's interesting. Colossus was great.
Yeah,
this was probably the most perfect version of Colossus.
I mean, big, bulky, and he Russian. Looked,
and he sounded like when he would get hit.
Yeah,
it was just that. Dung.
Oh, when him and
Angel Dust were fighting.
Yeah, him and Angel Dust fight. It's like, okay, that's awesome. How about the sneak in of a helicarrier?
Yeah, well, I was gonna get to that. Yeah. So the climactic battle, if you will, takes place on a destroyed helicarrier.
Yeah,
and it's one with like the rotary engines.
Yeah,
you know, so it wasn't like one of the three from.
It doesn't look like the Winter Soldier aircraft carrier helicarrier. It looks like the comic book helicarrier.
Yeah. Oh yeah. So that was really because I wanted to say something to you. Like while we were watching,
yeah.
But at the same time, it's like I was caught up in that final battle. It's like I don't want to interrupt you,
yeah.
But yeah, no, that
it's
was
not
cool.
Like I wouldn't have seen that, you know. So.
No, and I wasn't gonna be like,
well, I'm
hey,
sitting
that's
there
a...
in my head going, how did they slip that in and not get dinged with that? You know, it's like,
so you know what? If I were Marvel now, I would slip in the word mutant into a movie and be like, yeah. Hey, you used a helicarrier,
yeah.
You know, you're not allowed to use shield, so but yeah. I was hoping to see like a sentinel head in that graveyard or something.
Yeah, that would
something
have been cool.
In the shape of a sentinel head.
Right.
But no. Oh, so Colossus, just since we've talked about it, his first appearance was in Giant Size X-Men number 1, 1975.
He's his old design.
Which I told you. Yeah. Like, I was like, because we were talking about when he was created, and I was like, I'm pretty sure that's the one he was or the one before that. But
yeah.
And he's Lin Wynn and Dave Cockrum. So, yeah. You know, he's. He comes from great stock as far as writers. And, you know, for both of us, I think he's one of our, you know, top five X-Men.
Yeah. So, he's always been one of my favorites. So.
He was great. Like everything. With
well, it's
him.
Just the idea that the entire time he's been trying to recruit Deadpool for a few years, he even says that, like,
yeah.
You know, I've been trying to recruit him and, you know.
Weed.
But the whole thing where Deadpool goes to the mansion and knocks on the door and Negasonic answers and he's like, what, does this movie not have enough budget to have one more X-Men in it? And it's like, you know, he breaks the fourth wall much in there.
It was great how he did that.
Yeah, I really like, you know, like I said, I'm not a fan of the character at all, but I'm like, this is a good movie.
Yeah. So the movie was written by Rhett Reese and Paul Wernick, I guess is how you'd say that. Yeah, I mean, it was so spot on. And the comedy never felt forced.
No.
You know, and the point where he was like, it's time to make the fucking chimichangas. Like, it was like the exact right moment to throw that out. And then, like, even the point where he forgets the bag of guns. That's such a Deadpool thing.
Right.
I kind of wished they, like, because he made kind of reference. He's like, hey, where's my ammo pouch? Oh, I forgot it. I only have 12 bullets.
Right.
Like, as a... Because, like, his pouches were magical, kind of, where, you know, he could kind of pull whatever he needed out of
kind of like the bat belt.
Yeah. Well, but, like, you know, it wasn't, like, you know, in all seriousness, the utility belt. It was like, oh, hey, it's magical. It's got these pouches that can store whatever. So that was kind of a funny little, like, nod to that. Because I think if it had been a thing where he pulled out, like, a 50 cal, like, you know, sniper rifle.
Right.
People would have been like, all right.
Yeah, like, okay.
The love story aspect.
Was good.
Was really good.
Yeah.
Like, take away kind of the crazy and, you know, some of the more, like, hardcore stuff. Like, Marina Bakkinen and Ryan Reynolds had amazing chemistry.
Yeah.
They could go do one of those Nicholas Sparks things.
Yeah, I mean, the thing, like, with her is most of the characters you see her playing are kind of serious roles.
Yeah.
And this was one where it's like, I could see... Marina Bakkinen in a comedy now, and, like, you know, actually being able to have comedic timing. She had really good comedic timing at
great
point,
timing.
But was able to play the seriousness of it too, like when they find out that he has the cancer and growing
so
in
like
him.
When that happened, like, that character shifted
gears. Oh yeah,
like,
well, I felt like the whole movie shifted because you're like, this was an ultra violent, like, you know, ha-ha type movie, and now all of a sudden it's gotten serious.
Wait, now I have to have the feels
for
Wade. But I think one of the things, though, if I have to say anything disappointed me, it was the fact that all of TJ Miller's scenes were in the trailer.
Right.
Like, there was literally nothing new with him.
Right.
And that bummed me out because I love TJ Miller.
Right.
He's great on Silicon Valley. He was the only character I liked in... Cloverfield.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I wish he would have been able to survive at least.
He was awesome in Big Hero 6.
Yep. He's great as Fred in Big Hero 6.
Oh yeah, watch out for the obligatory Stan Lee.
And then Stan Lee's cameo was, it was unexpected.
It was fun.
And it was fun. It was really fun. And I had told you, I was hoping Deadpool was going to break down the fourth wall and he was going to be Stan Lee and he was just going to kill him. Because that would have been funny.
I like the idea. And I think Stan, like, said he had fun doing it, being the announcer at a strip club.
Yeah, I read it says it was his favorite cameo.
Yeah, oh, that's so cool. Yeah.
But, yeah, I think all in all, you know, I'd probably give it an 8 out of 10.
Yeah.
You know,
I gave it a 9 just because it made me laugh. And usually I don't.
I definitely want to watch it again.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm going to go see it again in the theater.
I told you the one thing that, like, you know, I wish they would have done, because I think that it would have been fun to do, would have been to, while the credits were rolling, to do Cannonball Run bloopers.
Yeah.
Would have been fun, because I think it would have, like, you know,
made it where, yeah. It could have been Cannonball Run bloopers of him in character messing stuff up, like trying to put the pants on or
right,
whatever,
yeah.
And falling over. Like, maybe some more of the torture stuff where he was, like, you know, because he wasn't super jokey during those,
right,
which was understandable. But at the same time, like, he had the friend Bob that he ran into in the field.
Right.
He obviously cared about, you know.
It was, like, one of the only people he didn't kill.
Yeah, didn't kill him. He just knocked him out. Well, but I'm assuming he died when the helicarrier fell on.
Maybe.
Part of the, you know, who knows. But, okay, I have a weird question. This has nothing to do with Deadpool. So, in, like, movies and TV shows and stuff, when the bad guys get knocked into, say, water.
Yeah.
And they never try and climb back out and fight. It's right. Like, okay, so you're knocked in the water. Okay, you're out of the fight. That's it. You're done. You know, or do they drown? I've always wondered about that. Ever since I was a kid, it's always
been a Tron thing where they digitize.
Yeah.
There you go.
Digitized. But, yeah.
I mean, most of, like, you know, when he drags the one off that he recognizes, I thought he dragged him off.
Maybe,
away. So. And that to get him out of the way so he didn't have to kill him. And then when he lines up the dead bodies, the word Francis.
And it spells out Francis. Yeah, and he, like, just gets pissed.
Yeah.
Colossus, when he's fighting Angel Dust and her boob pops out.
Yeah.
Now, unfortunately,
Unfortunately,
we don't get to see it. Yeah. Because, you know, like I said, Gina Carano, she's like, she's definitely a looper.
There was nudity in the movie.
Oh, yeah.
But there was no nudity with Marina Baccarin, and there was no nudity with Gina Carano.
Yeah.
But it was like, I liked how they shot it where it's like, whoa.
So he puts his hand, like his right hand out, and he's like looking away with it, like covering his face with his left hand. And she's like resituating. And she's like, that's so nice and so sweet. And it punches him right in the nuts.
Uh-huh.
And that was a great sound, because that sounded like a little different. It sounded different. Because it was like, dong.
He actually heard him.
Yeah.
And, like, she hadn't heard him yet.
Well, yeah. I
mean, yeah, and it's like, she actually heard him that time, and it was like, okay, now it's all off. Now he was actually being nice while he was fighting her.
Oh, yeah.
And when she did that, it was like, oh, no more Mr. Nice Guy.
And it was funny, because it was a callback to something earlier when Deadpool punched him and broke his hand. And he goes, your poor wife. So
there are just a lot of things where Deadpool was torturing himself as much as anybody else.
As much as anybody else.
Yeah.
It was well shot. The fight choreography was amazing.
Just all together, even the effects. I mean, it did. This movie had like a vibe of Blade and of the second Ghost Rider movie, because the second Ghost Rider movie felt like it had a budget, but it wasn't like as heavy of a budget as the first one. So it was like more, you know, on the cheap, and that's what this felt like. But it felt like they used the money in the right ways.
Sure.
And, you know, that's a good movie to me.
Yeah.
You know, the effects were good. The actors were good. I mean, they got a good cast. This is, like, one of the best comic book movie cast.
Yeah. I mean, it's rocking an 84% on Rotten Tomatoes right now.
That's cool.
So it's certified, air quotes, certified fresh. It's got a 96% for the audience score, which is, you know, I mean,
I told...
That's higher than... I had some
friends ask me, like, they knew I was seeing it yesterday morning. They asked me, and they went and seen it last night, because I told them, I said, it's that good.
Yeah. I mean, like, so their Rotten Tomatoes score is higher than Civil War, higher than Ant-Man, than Age of Ultron.
Wow.
So...
Okay.
You know, it's one of
Winter
those
Soldier
things.
Or Civil War? Which one?
Oh, Winter Soldier. Winter Soldier, sorry.
Okay.
I'm looking forward. I am really looking forward to that movie. To the point where I watched Ant-Man again the other day.
Okay.
So, But yeah. Oh, what else was I gonna say?
Sorry, I knocked off track.
No, it's okay. You know, I kind of wish the other X movies, like you know, you want to put someone in charge of the X movies, put Tim Miller in charge of the X movies. Yeah. He totally like he got Colossus like better than you know the kid who played Colossus in
I can't remember
the Days name. Of Future Past and you know in
well X3. He's been around since X2. He's
been Colossus a couple times. He never spoke. He's some Canadian football player.
Yeah, he had like a couple lines, but
it wasn't in Russian.
Anything but. That was like, you know, any big deal. And when they did do him as CGI, he was small compared to.
Oh, they just like liquefied like his skin, yeah. Basically with the metal. Yeah, I just think, okay, the other thing about this movie, while you're looking that up,
yeah,
is should kids see this movie?
No, oh no,
no. Absolutely not. If you have a kid, even if you have a 13-year-old, and you know, go see this first and judge what your kid can or can't handle.
Yeah, this is that's one the best where I definitely that. Say, you know, the parents should go see this movie if they're not sure, or you know, whatever adult.
But is. While we were in line, there was that little kid with the big curly like hair,
yeah.
thing. He was losing his shit about Deadpool. And he was there with what looked like his grandma.
Yeah.
I totally thought they were getting tickets for Deadpool.
And they didn't.
They didn't. And I really thought they
would. He was pushing it, but she was like, no.
But it's rated R for a reason.
Daniel Cudmore.
Yeah, thank you. Daniel Cudmore.
He actually Colossus. Is. Yeah, he was born in British Columbia. So, yeah, he is Canadian.
So.
And he was actually Colossus in 3 X-Men movies.
Yeah.
Last Stand, X2. And Days of Future Past.
Last.
What? Yeah, I know.
It went X2.
The Brett Ratner X-Men movie.
Brett Ratner. Anyway.
Better as a producer than a director.
Much better as a producer. Because he keeps his stuff on track. I think the fact. So for this, what made this so good? Tim Miller. Ryan Reynolds' love for the character. The fact that he got on as a producer.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you noticed in the credits, he was PGA, so yeah. Producers Guild of America. So I mean, he had actual power on this.
Yeah, which I would hope so because of the fact that you know.
I think that helped keep it on track because he is such a fan of the character.
I didn't know that Tim Miller directed Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah. Okay. No. Edgar Wright directed Scott Pilgrim.
Oh, okay. Well, he's credited with Scott Pilgrim.
He might have written on it. I don't know. Let me see. Anyway, as we look things up, Johnny will now give us a song. But he directed Deadpool Rock Fit. Like, this was his first like
major full-length movie.
Feature. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think he probably just produced.
Oh, he's okay. He's an animator.
Yeah. All right. I watched Scott Pilgrim the other night. I love that movie.
Oh, that's cool. Miller is also famous for creating the opening sequences of Girl with a Dragon Tattoo and Thor Dark World.
Oh, very cool.
So he's very, already very had cool. his hand in
the Marvel U.
Yeah.
So, all right. So for someone who isn't a Deadpool fan, what would you say for them to go, so an adult, obviously, to go see this as far as, you know,
like if other, I was going to compare it to something? I'd say if you liked Kick-Ass, you'll definitely like Deadpool. Because Kick-Ass was the watered-down version of Deadpool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It definitely agree with is. That
yeah. Because Kick-Ass was a PG-13 movie.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm pretty sure it was.
So.
But I mean, it's still, even if it wasn't, this is the better version of Kick-Ass.
So Kick-Ass was kind of a ripoff of Deadpool in a way, wasn't he?
Well, Kick-Ass is, you know, Mark Millar borrows when he does stuff. So it's like, you know, yeah, it's a little bit Deadpool and a little bit just vigilante altogether. Yeah. But yeah, it's one of those things where I would tell people, you know, people who weren't just looking forward to the movie in the first place. It's like, yeah, it's definitely a more violent but funnier version of what Kick-Ass was. So, you know.
Which is funny because Kick-Ass was
pretty funny. I liked Kick-Ass. I thought the first Kick-Ass movie was it was rated R too.
Yeah, I thought so.
So it was rated R too, but I liked the first Kick-Ass movie.
Yeah.
But they felt like there was something missing from it.
Okay.
Or it was just Nicolas Cage bothered me in it, I think, maybe. Well, I read the book before I seen the movie. Like, yeah, I had read that book. And it was one of those things where I didn't imagine Nicolas Cage as Big Daddy.
No.
It wasn't the Rutger Hauer was more who I imagined as Big Daddy. Yeah. And, you know, I think that might have threw it off for me a little bit. And, you know, it was a good movie. But like you said, you gave this an 8. I probably gave Kick-Ass like a 7 or 8.
Yeah, I gave.
Whereas I gave Deadpool like a 9. Yeah. I told people, I said, on a scale of 1 to 10, this is a hard 9. And I think it was because it was a decent adaptation of a comic book character.
Yeah.
You know, and they were bold enough to do a rated R on a Marvel movie, which never had been done, I don't think. Was Blade?
Blade was rated R.
Was it? Okay.
So, I know, but it then made,
Blade
like,
got watered down to PG-13 eventually. So. Yeah.
Well, and they made the comment about Blade 2.
Right.
Like, you know, which was funny. Just money-wise so far, it set the record for opening night for a rated R movie in February.
Okay.
So I think at like 12 and a half. Didn't
it set like a European record too or something?
And I think so far it had made like 45 million and it was on track for 60.
It's one of those things where it's a deserved
amount
of money. Like, you know, if people are going to see this and people are enjoying it, and I know some people aren't going to enjoy it, they're going to be in that first 5 minutes and leave.
Yeah.
And I can't blame them. Because there's some people who just can't handle this stuff. No. And that, but if you enjoy the more violent comic books like The Punisher, Blade, Kick-Ass,
I feel like Deadpool, this opens the door for a true Punisher
movie. Oh yeah, yeah. Well, you know.
But, and if Jon Bernthal is at all good on the Netflix Daredevil series.
Yeah.
Put him in the movie.
Well, even doing a Netflix series with Punisher, it's one of those things where they're not rated on there, but you can go violent on that. I mean,
Daredevil's violent.
And it's like, you know, in this day and age, I'm like, you know, for people who, this is too violent for blah, blah. And you let your kids watch The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
You let your kids watch The Walking Dead. And that is very violent. And it's not only just because the
violence of it.
It's only because of the thought that, they're just zombies.
Yeah.
But it's like, no, you let them watch it and real people die.
Yeah.
And it's like,
it's not just zombies getting killed. It's you know, people getting their guts ripped out as well.
Right. It's just don't preach at people about this movie. And, you know, enough of the, we need to do a PG-13 cut. No, you don't.
No, you don't.
That would ruin this movie.
It absolutely would ruin this movie. And, you know, the other thing is, you know, the Deadpool creators and people running this and people doing their social media have done a fantastic job of saying, this is for adults.
Yeah.
They put out that whole letter like, hey, dear fans, this is not for children. Don't take your kids.
Yeah.
Don't ruin it for everybody else by taking your kids, getting offended and complaining because you've been warned.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was telling you before we sat down, like on my Facebook wall, some of my friends were talking about, you know, should I take my kids to see this?
No.
And like some teacher had posted that, you know, and this person wasn't my friend. It was just a comment that a bunch of her sixth graders were talking about going to see Deadpool. And, you know, it's like my response and my wife's response to that was, you know, she should send an email to all of those people based on like this thread and be like, do not go see this.
Right.
There's this great gratuitous sex scene in the middle of the movie where they celebrate every holiday.
Yeah.
And you'll get that when you see the movie. I'm not going to spoil that for you. But like, you know, they're celebrating Thanksgiving and they're rubbing mashed potatoes together while they're doing it. And it's like, it was hilarious.
Well, yeah, it was. I mean, it kind of felt like it was making fun of like movies like 9 and a Half Weeks and 50 Shades of Grey, but it was a sex scene. I mean, you know,
it fit right. It just fit, and it was great, the timing of it,
right?
You know,
again,
and I think boiled down for me, I love the timing of it, I loved the authenticity of it, and just the look. Like, it was never so dark that you couldn't tell. Yeah, who
even when they were, I mean, the darkest parts were the parts where they were like running him through the Weapon X training, which wasn't training, it was just torture.
Yeah. So there was the Weapon X, and then there was the Spider-Man alleyway scene.
Well, yeah, but that was part of the whole, you know.
Was it, like, that was the only nighttime. I will give a special call out to the cabbie, Dohinder.
Yeah,
was great. I mean,
Mr. Pool.
And that was Karan Sunny.
Yeah. I've seen him in other things. Yeah. Yeah.
So tell me, Mr. Pool, why the fancy red suit? Yeah. Like, and that was in the preview, and I just love that line to death because he had climbed up.
Well, and obviously, like, they, you know, they made it where we know that he's ridden in that cab a few times after that for the fact that what happens with the guy's cousin.
So he talks about his romantic rival because he has this girl, Gita, that he's in love with. And, you know, his cousin is his romantic rival and he's much more handsome and much more cunning. And, you know.
How did Colossus fit in that cab is what I'm like.
That was like kind of one thing that bothered me, and it was just like that car should have been like leaning like
a little down bit more
on that back wheel a little more. But he's in there like drinking a juice box or something like that. Yeah. It was great.
It was one of those things where, you know, Colossus always seemed like a somewhat innocent character anyways, and the way they play him is like, you know,
he was a babe in the woods.
He's like really just the nice guy in the movie. And when it comes to, you know, you got to fight, like, you know, Deadpool was pretty much like asking for their help.
Yeah.
And that, and he's like, you know, just because you might join the X-Men, I'm going to help you. Yeah. and it's one of those things where, hey, you know, this is, and he pretty much acts like Deadpool's his friend.
Yeah. And like, he's training Negasonic Teenage Warhead.
Yeah.
And she's, you know, she could care less. She's got the phone in front of her. She's. Like the interaction between her and Deadpool and then Colossus like watching, and the guys who did the CG did a great job with the emotion on his, because he never got annoyed, but he definitely like was like kind of looking at her like longingly, like, I want to have this relationship with you that you've developed with Wade so quickly. Yeah.
Why are you getting along with him, but you do not get along with me?
Yeah. It's like, so, you know. Yeah, it was, oh man, so many great things.
I do hope to see Colossus, like, you know, again.
Yeah, I would love to see Colossus. So let's kind of wrap this up.
Like, yeah,
we've gone on for a while.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we love the movie, so it's that simple. But the end credits.
Let's not spoil that.
I'm not going to spoil it.
It's hilarious.
But I'm going to say this.
Oh, it's hilarious.
It's an homage to the greatest end credit scene ever in a movie.
It's hilarious. That was, I was just like, I mean.
Did you feel like everyone in our theater that saw it got all the jokes?
No. There was a lot of where we were laughing louder than anybody else.
So, like when we went and saw Paul.
Yeah.
And they went into the bar and they were playing the Cantina music from Star Wars. And we were the only two people who laughed.
Yeah.
Like,
there was a couple times where I felt like you and I probably were the only ones laughing.
And it's like.
And then there were times where I was like, did nobody get the joke? And like the, you know, and. That's the thing, is like there was enough of like publicity about there was an end credit thing.
Right.
And there was people leaving.
Yeah.
And I'm like, where are you going? It's like, where are you going?
Why would you do that?
Yeah.
So definitely stay till the end.
Stay till the end.
Although your like thing was like, what if there isn't?
I said that would have been the whole thing, is like, I you know, because it is Deadpool.
Yeah.
It was going to go one of two ways. He was going to screw with you one way, or he was going to screw with you another way. And that, and, I was like, what if there's nothing at the end and that's the way that he screws with, like, he would be screwing with you.
Which would have been funny.
Yeah, that would have been funny, too.
It would
too.
Have been really funny. So, yeah. All right. So, on a whole, you know,
check
it out. I'm going to bump mine up to a 9 after sitting here talking about this. Because, I mean, I did enjoy it.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed it a lot.
Did they say, like, when they release this on Blu-ray, if it's going to have an unrated version?
So, there was talk that in the fall... there's going to be
an they're
going to
release it in the theaters.
I don't know if it's a theater release or if it's like the Blu-ray release,
because
I mean, this
I would look
probably
forward to
come out
an unrated
in like
version of this.
April or whatever.
Yeah,
but there's like an extended version.
Yeah.
What was the runtime? I don't remember. It was
it was an hour and something.
It was, it doesn't say there. Yeah,
it felt like it went quick,
man.
Yeah.
It went by fast. Yeah. And not in a fast way, like I felt like I missed everything, but it went by fast.
It went quick, but it was one of those things. Well, and like you said, it felt like the scene where he was being turned into a mutant was dragged out.
Yeah.
But it was fast.
It was. So.
Because the whole movie was like really fast paced.
And the cuts were great.
Yeah.
Like, just, I feel like
it just
I've
had
said,
a, I mean, if this is Tim Miller's first, like, you know, full movie
by, you know,
he had the beats down of what a movie should be and how it should move.
So, like, he reminds me of, you know, like...
I wouldn't mind seeing him direct an X-Men movie.
Yeah, well, that's what I was thinking. Like, you know, or X-Force.
Yeah, like, you know, like I just, said,
yeah,
X-Force would be kind of cool. I mean, you know, to have Deadpool, Cable, Colossus, Negasonic...
Domino.
Domino. I mean, you gotta throw Domino. I forgot Deadpool, about Domino. So. And you know, maybe a couple other oddballs. So,
like, my dream, like,
X-Force, Cannonball would be cool too.
Yeah,
yeah.
My dream, like, X-Force would be Deadpool, Cable, Colossus. Keep Negasonic Teenage Warhead in there as, like, the young member of the team. Yeah, and they all treat her young.
Yeah,
because she's like a real powerhouse, and her powers are different in the movie than in the
comics. Yeah, you said that.
But have them, and then add Domino. I want to see Havoc, like we said.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, and then, you know, just kind of...
Would it be the Havoc that we've seen, like, in the first class and in the...
No. Well, I would like that actor, but I would like to see him with some more experience. Some more, like, you know, he's older.
Like, he's like, we're probably going to see him in Apocalypse.
Yeah, let him get a little bit
he's
older.
He's in Apocalypse.
He is. And then, like, throw in, like, a bad mutant, just kind of, like, one of the, like, some...
Well,
brother,
sure, yeah.
Some former brother. Well, if... Avalanche or something like that.
I mean, that's where I'm, like, if you're going to do something... crazy, like, if you're gonna have Deadpool and it's got to be a little crazy of a storyline, wouldn't Mojo be like the
Mojo would be
Mojo so. And you know, Longshot, and then
Longshot,
well,
Domino,
but have Longshot kind of be the villain,
oh,
like part of the villain in that, and you know, the villain who turns at the end type thing, and that would be kind of cool.
Yeah, I don't know how they would do like a big bad for X-Force.
trademark. I'm trademarking the storyline.
But yeah,
all right. I at least want a credit. Like, if you're gonna do that movie now and you use
story,
that idea,
story
just,
credit,
yeah, just throw a credit
at Michael Potter. But,
just a visit to the set.
Yeah,
just a visit to the set. That's all I want. All
right, guys. As always, you can find us at the infamous or at
let
infamous
us know what you think.
Yeah, email
let
us at
know what you
the
think.
infamouspodcast@gmail.com. You can actually find all of this on our website. How to contact us?
Yeah,
where to subscribe? So, like, head over there, like I said, infamouspodcast.com. We have a new website.
Yeah, you updated the website.
So. I, on a whim, on Monday night,
decided
to redesign the website.
Follow us on Facebook.
Yep.
Follow us on
Instagram. We have an
Instagram
now.
Yeah,
thank you.
I was going to say, follow us on Instagram, Twitter, everything.
Yeah, you can get a hold of us everywhere. And yeah, go
see
Deadpool.
The internets.
We are.
We're out there.
We're active. We will find
Enjoy
you.
Your chimichanga.
Yeah, have a chimichanga.
No, no, I...
Oh.
Did you not...
Sorry, I stepped on his line. Okay, do that again.
But enjoy your chimichanga.